In all my dreams I drown, by Idrilka, read by X-Men hater. Summary. Plagued by nightmares and guilt, Wei Wuxian seeks comfort in his husband's arms. Wei Wuxian wakes from the nightmare with his hair slick with sweat, plastered to the nape of his neck and his back. He doesn't make a sound, the scream lodged in his throat. By his side, Lan Chan is still sleeping, his features gentle in the faint light of the moon that falls into their bedroom through the slats in the window. It bathes their bed in a pale glow and spills softly onto the ground. Without waking his husband, Wei Wuxian climbs out of bed and throws on a flimsy undergarment before sliding open the door that leads to the deck of the Jingxi. The early summer nights are warm enough that Wei Wuxian doesn't shiver in just one layer immediately after venturing outside, but Gusu is not Yunmeng, and the heat of the day doesn't linger lazily this high up the mountain. He knows that if he stays here long enough, goose flesh will begin to rise on his arms and legs. Good, he thinks. His teeth now chatter for an entirely different reason. It takes a moment for the echoes of the screams to quiet down in his head. He can taste the phantom blood in his mouth, like biting down on the blade of an iron sword. His throat is tight with the screams that have remained trapped inside. Wei Wuxian closes his eyes and presses the heels of his palms against them until the hurt blooms like a flower in the night. He takes a deep breath, and then another, until the cage of his chest gives a little, allowing air back in. At this time of night, the cloud recesses are quiet with the absolute silence of the Gusu Lan. High hour has long come and gone, and it is not yet time for the kitchen hands to rouse, half a shichen earlier than the other disciples. The air is still, no wind disturbs the chimes at the entrance or the waters of the small pond where lotus is about to bloom. It's only Wei Wuxian and the thoughts that roll in his head like maggots. The nightmares are not new. They have accompanied his night since his return to the world of the living. Sometimes they recede like the waters of the low tide. Other times they push through like vicious waves of black water that break against the rocks at the shore. He drowns in them, clawing at the murky waters that close above his head until his body hits the bottom of the sea. That's where he finds them, their pale drowned faces, their white unseeing eyes. But Shixie didn't drown, the voice in his head says. When Qiang Yanli opens her mouth, only black blood spills out like ink. Her dark hair floats about her like a veil.
Asian,
her mouth says slowly.
Asian, why did you kill me?
I didn't, he wants to say, except that he did. Wei Wuxian was the reason Shixie came to the Nightless City. He might not have been the one to plunge the blade into her heart, but he died with her blood still warm on his hands. A bird startles in the trees nearby, taking to the skies with a flutter of wings and a rustling of the branches. The movement and the sound rouses Wei Wuxian from his thoughts, and he watches for a while its dark silhouette against the slowly brightening sky to the east. It is still long before dawn. He sits on the steps that lead up to the deck, with his knees pulled up to his chin, until he starts to shiver. Lan Chan has not come to join him, which means that he must be asleep. Good, Wei Wuxian thinks. Lan Chan needs the rest. He works so hard, day after day, taking his duty as chief cultivator more seriously than either of his last three predecessors. Wei Wuxian doesn't know how to shoulder that part of the burden, when there are so many still in the cultivation world who curse his name, some not without reason. Sometimes they don't see each other much during the days, with Lan Chan tending to his chief cultivator duties, hearing petitions and dispensing justice, and Wei Wuxian busy with his new inventions, those he never managed to complete in his previous life, and those he came up with after his return to the world of the living. He's working on an illustrated manuscript that details the schematic and inner workings of his devices and talismans to be used as a teaching aid in the cultivation curriculum across the sects. It was Lan Chan's idea in the beginning, and Wei Wuxian laughed when Lan Chan first brought it up one evening, fingers poised over the strings of the guqin. But it was also Lan Chan who managed to convince at least some of the sect leaders that it was useful. They were already using Wei Wuxian's inventions, his spirit lure flags and his compasses of evil, his talismans and his spells. The theory behind them, Lan Chan argued, was most useful when coming from the originator himself. It's the good kind of work, the kind that Wei Wuxian enjoys, but it's so easy for him to lose track of the time. Sometimes he forgets to eat until Lan Chan brings them supper on the way home, and sometimes Wei Wuxian is woken up from where he's lying on the table with a smudge of ink on his cheek, having fallen asleep at some point during the late afternoon. But the evenings are just for them. They are for slow, lazy kisses, and peeling fruit for Lan Chan while he plays the guqin, and for brushing Lan Chan's hair before they go to sleep. Wei Wuxian wonders from time to time if that's enough, if he's stretching himself too thin, giving too little of himself to Lan Chan, who survived 16 long years with nothing of Wei Wuxian to hold on to, except for the brand on his chest, inflicted with the same iron. On nights like these, when Wei Wuxian wants to claw at his skin until he reaches that part of himself that still howls at the moon with grief, he feels that most acutely. He promised Lan Chan everything when they bowed thrice for the whole world to see, and there are times when he feels like he's breaking this promise without ever meaning to. But that's the problem with all of his broken promises, Wei Wuxian thinks bitterly. He never means to break them. Another bird gives a sharp screech in the treetops, followed by a rustling of leaves and the echo of another shriek when Wei Wuxian decides to return to bed. The sky grows brighter and brighter in the east, and the kitchen hands will be getting up soon. When Lan Chan wakes up at Mao hour, Wei Wuxian plans to be asleep like nothing ever happened. He spends the morning with a bow in hand, shooting at the targets in the archery field until sweat soaks his robes and plasters them to his skin. On his way back, he goes to tend to the rabbits in the back mountain and feeds Little Apple, who announces his displeasure at being left alone for so long, loud and clear. I know, Wei Wuxian says, patting the donkey on the muzzle. You'd rather be on the road. By the afternoon, Wei Wuxian keeps dozing off, his eyes heavy, and he decides to take a nap before Lan Chan is supposed to return home. He sleeps restlessly, and when he wakes up, sluggishness takes over his mind and his body. It continues in this manner until the evening, and if Lan Chan wakes up with surprise when Wei Wuxian climbs into their bed long before Z hour, he says nothing. Surrounded by Lan Chan's comforting scent, Wei Wuxian closes his eyes and hopes for a sleepless night. He wakes again, long before sunrise, with the memories of black smoke pushing its way down his throat and into his lungs, threatening to fill him to the brim and spill out like a wave. When it comes back up his throat again, it tastes like salt water. The Jingxi is silent again, save for the soft rustle of the chimes that hang above the entrance. Wei Wuxian puts on his robes and slips outside, sliding the door behind him. This time he sits on the deck for a while before leaving to wander the grounds. He feels like a ghost, treading the paths of the cloud recesses in the dark without a sound. His feet take him past the Hanshi, and then in a wide arc that has him pass by the dormitories and the library pavilion, all the way down to the treasure pavilion, where a Gusulan disciple is standing watch.
Master Wei,
he bows, then looks around.
What brings you here at this time of night? Is Hongguanjun...
Hongguanjun is sleeping, Wei Wuxian says, then waves his hand dismissively.
I'm just seeing the sights.
The disciple says nothing in return, which is just as well. It would be impossible to explain to someone the tight sensation in his chest and limbs, like Wei Wuxian's body is too big for its skin, like there's something inside waiting to burst out. He didn't come back right from the burial mounds. And whatever had lodged itself inside his body came back with him when Mo Xuanyu sacrificed himself for another man's vengeance. Maybe it's that part of him that claws at him from the inside at night. Maybe it recognizes the darkness around him and wants to greet it like an old friend. Whatever it is, it whispers to him sometimes. It's your fault. It's your fault. Your fault. It's a truth, Wei Wuxian knows intimately. Whatever else happened, he has his own burdens to bear, his own demons to face. He's not without blame, and he must remember this. He cannot let it consume him, but he must never forget it either. He wants to be a good husband to Lan Chan, though, above all else. He wants to be good to him and to be worthy of him and to be loved by him. That is the crux of it. Wei Wuxian wants to be good.
He can believe that he is all that in the bright light of the day, but the night brings with itself shadows and echoes of memories and faces of the dead in the deep dark waters. His nightmares pull him under, into that darkness, until the murky water fills his lungs and he wakes up, gasping, throat raw. Wei Wuxian doesn't tell Lan Chan about the nightmares, at least not those Lan Chan sleeps through. There is no reason to add to the worry. Wei Wuxian knows that Lan Chan always worries about him, in that quiet, constant way that those who love other people do, and Wei Wuxian has given him enough reason to last two lifetimes. But on those nights when Wei Wuxian can't keep the screams in, Lan Chan is there with gentle hands and gentle lips, smelling like sandalwood and warm earth. On other nights, Wei Wuxian does this. He sits in front of the Jingxi, watching the sky slowly take on a purple hue, before slipping back under the covers into Lan Chan's warm embrace. That's what he does this time as well. When he finally tires of his wandering, just before the sun begins to rise, he takes his steps back toward the Jingxi and opens the sliding door soundlessly. He disrobes and makes his way back into bed, but when he presses his body against Lan Chan, he jostles awake. Wei Wuxian stills in his tracks, like a student caught sneaking into Lan Tijin's lecture a quarter Shichen too late.
"Wei Ying," Lan Chan says, voice rough with sleep. "You are cold. Have you been out?"
Wei Wuxian hums, tucking his face into the crook of Lan Chan's neck. His lips brush against Lan Chan's skin when he speaks.
"Couldn't sleep. Had a little walk to clear my head. Come on, Lan Chan, it's too early to be awake. Let's go back to sleep."
He settles himself on Lan Chan's chest and closes his eyes. Beside him, Lan Chan's breathing eventually evens out, but Wei Wuxian stays awake long past that moment, breathing in Lan Chan's familiar scent and warming himself with the warmth of Lan Chan's body. Finally, just before the sun crests over the horizon to spill into their windows, and the gong sounds to announce Mao hour, Wei Wuxian drifts off into fitful sleep. He rises late, rubbing the sand from under his eyelids with his knuckles, and eats the long cold congee left by Lan Chan in the morning. Wei Wuxian could stop by the kitchens to get something less stale, and he's sure the kitchen hands would eagerly feed Hong Guanjun's husband, but he doesn't have much of an appetite anyway. The tea is cold too, but he doesn't bother brewing a fresh pot. Wei Wuxian passes most of the day by rewriting the same passage on spirit lure flags over and over again until he runs out of ink and can't be bothered to fetch more from the box. He tries to nap, but his body is too restless to sleep. Every time he closes his eyes, his mind wanders, thoughts spinning like leaves caught in a gust of wind. By the time Lan Chan comes home in the evening, Wei Wuxian has supper on the table, and he entertains Lan Chan with idle talk while they eat. They play music together after the meal, and then Wei Wuxian brushes Lan Chan's hair, the way he always does before they go to bed.
"Will you come lie with me?"
Lan Chan asks, putting away his forehead ribbon for the night.
"In just a moment," Wei Wuxian says as he pours the last of Emperor's Smile into a cup to drink. "Go to sleep, Lan Chan. I'll join you in a little while."
Wei Wuxian wakes with a strangled gasp, his hands trembling when he brings them to his mouth to keep the sounds in. He sits among the pooling sheets for a while, with Lan Chan still asleep beside him, before he slips out of the bed once again and goes outside. His body is a tightly wound coil about to snap. His muscles strain with every movement, and there's tightness in his stomach that won't release. Sour taste clings to the back of his mouth. Wei Wuxian sits down on the steps that lead down from the deck into the garden, arms wrapped around himself, and waits. He's awake now, and the specters of the dead can't reach him here, in this world beyond sleep. They can't point their accusatory fingers at him, their white, unseeing eyes boring into him.
"How could you, Wei Wuxian?"
"Asian, why did you kill me?"
"Do you not see the ruin you bring to people? It is your fault. It is all your fault."
And he knows. Oh, he knows it was his fault. He will live with that knowledge until the end of his days, but the constant awareness of it, the itch of that guilt under his skin, is slowly driving him into insanity on nights like these.
It's easier to bear in the light of the day, but the night always reveals all his past wrongdoings, reflected in the darkness like in the surface of a lake. Wei Wuxian shivers, but he can't tell if it's just the wind or something else. He only has his underrobe on, the white silk pooling around his ankles. Goose flesh rises on his forearms and calves, but he doesn't move. The chill of the night air keeps him from slipping back into the world of shadows and specters. The wind coming from the north picks up after a while, disturbing the chimes above the entrance. It dances in the tree branches and rustles the lotus leaves in the pond. The lotus pods are not yet ripe, even though Wei Wuxian craves nothing more in this moment than to feel their sweetness burst across his tongue. This is how he wants to remember Shixie, smiling sweetly as she peels lotus for the three of them, good and gentle and alive, not as one of the dead who lurk in the murky depths of Wei Wuxian's dreams. It's dark still, not a sliver of the brightening sky visible over the horizon. Wei Wuxian sits, waiting for the trembling in his body to subside, for his mind to stop running in circles and for his teeth to stop chattering. He doesn't want to be alone with the viscous tar of his thoughts, but he can't bear the thought of waking Lan Chan, who needs rest so much more than Wei Wuxian does. He doesn't know how much time passes before the sound of quiet footsteps pulls him out of his stupor.
Weiying. Lan Chan lays a hand on his shoulder, then comes to sit beside Wei Wuxian. Has something happened? You have not been sleeping well.
Wei Wuxian could lie, but he doesn't want it to become one more of his broken promises to Lan Chan.
Nightmares, he says, his throat tight. They've been bad lately. I keep thinking too much. You know it never ends well, Lan Chan.
Wei Wuxian tries to laugh, but comes out broken, like even his own mouth can't believe his words. To his side, Lan Chan puts a hand around his waist and pulls him closer, until Wei Wuxian rests his head against Lan Chan's shoulder. He closes his eyes again, breathes in the faint scent of sandalwood.
Sorry to drag you out of bed, Wei Wuxian says. I didn't want you to worry.
It is no trouble.
Lan Chan's voice reverberates through his chest, a deep, pleasant sound.
Weiying is beautiful in the moonlight.
Something settles inside Wei Wuxian at the words, some of the tension in his shoulders draining away. He looks up and tells his husband, Lan Chan, you can't just say these things, because that's what he always does. But tonight his heart is not in it.
Lying is forbidden, Lan Chan proclaims solemnly just before he presses a kiss to Wei Wuxian's temple.
The gentle touch and warmth of his lips begins to unravel the tight knot at the center of Wei Wuxian's chest.
And it is my duty to tell Wei Ying how precious he is to me.
Wei Wuxian presses his lips together, his eyes falling shut again. He swallows thickly around the lump in his throat.
Even when I leave you for hours to tinker with my inventions, and never leave the bed early enough to eat breakfast with you, and fall asleep at the table at supper?
He intends for it to be a joke, but it comes out strangely earnest.
Always.
Lan Chan does not lie. The words that fall from his mouth echo the tenderness of his touch. It strikes Wei Wuxian, an errant thought that repeats in his mind over and over again. Lan Chan is so good, and he deserves so much. He deserves everything. But he has chosen Wei Wuxian, and the only thing Wei Wuxian can do is try to be worthy of that choice. When he looks up, he meets Lan Chan's gentle gaze. His eyes slide off the soft curve of Lan Chan's mouth. Suddenly hungry for touch, Wei Wuxian surges up to kiss him, with a hand on Lan Chan's cheek. This, too, makes the knot in his chest unravel just a little bit more. Lan Chan, he says at last, take me to bed. Lan Chan lights a few candles and oil lamps with a gesture of his hand when they come inside, flooding the Jingxi with a soft, warm glow. It's not bright enough to completely dispel the darkness that lurks in the corners, but it doesn't dare come closer or call Wei Wuxian's name in the night. They sit on the bed facing each other, the silk of their robes the only barrier between them. Lan Chan's hair is down, and Wei Wuxian reaches to plunge his hand into the strands that fall like a waterfall of ink over Lan Chan's shoulder. Lan Chan, he whispers, then leans in to kiss him again.
The kiss is gentle and unhurried, a simple slide of lips against lips until Lan Chan nudges Wei Wuxian's mouth open with his tongue. This is familiar territory, as natural to them as breathing. Their bodies know each other by touch, and they slot against each other like they have always belonged to the same whole, brought together at last. Wei Wuxian closes his eyes and cups the back of Lan Chan's head, bringing him even closer. Lan Chan's mouth is warm and soft, and every time he sighs against Wei Wuxian's lips, it makes Wei Wuxian shudder. Lan Chan's hands are wrapped around Wei Wuxian's waist, and he presses himself against Wei Wuxian's chest with his body until all he can feel and taste and smell is Lan Chan. The kisses linger, sweet and sticky like honey, and Wei Wuxian grows breathless with every gasp and moan that falls from their mouths. He moves to straddle Lan Chan's lap, the folds of his underrobe parting to bare his thighs to the night air. His cock is beginning to fill where it rests against his hip, and Wei Wuxian presses closer to Lan Chan's body to let him feel it. "Wei Ying is so precious to me," Lan Chan says, moving his mouth to press kisses to the underside of Wei Wuxian's jaw and further down his neck. The words, whispered into the air between them, make Wei Wuxian gasp. "Wei Ying is good and kind. When he smiles, it is like he has eclipsed the sun with his light." Lan Chan reaches to the fastenings of Wei Wuxian's robes and pulls them open. The silk falls away, slipping off one shoulder, and Lan Chan covers the exposed skin with his mouth, leaving kisses all over, the fleeting touch like the wings of a butterfly. "Wei Ying should be cherished always," Lan Chan continues. He pushes the silk further down Wei Wuxian's arms until it falls around him all the way down to his waist. Lan Chan's fingers trail down Wei Wuxian's sternum while his mouth sucks a bruise into the hollow of Wei Wuxian's throat. It will show between the open collars of his robes, and Wei Wuxian can't help the thrill that runs down his spine at the thought of it on display for everyone to see. "Wei Ying deserves to be adored and loved. He is so good to me." Wei Wuxian takes a breath for what feels like the first time in 3 days. The iron grip around his lungs loosens, and when he exhales, it comes out shuddering and wet. His eyes sting and his throat feels tight.
"Lan Chan, that's too much," he whispers, breathless,
baring his throat for Lan Chan to kiss some more. He needs this tenderness tonight, craves it, but Lan Chan's words make his face burn with embarrassment. Wei Wuxian knows that Lan Chan loves him beyond measure, but to hear it spoken out loud is something else entirely.
"No," Lan Chan replies. "It is just enough for Wei Ying to know that he is my beloved."
With one hand clasped over the curve of Wei Wuxian's thigh, Lan Chan wraps his other hand around Wei Wuxian's filling cock. The touch is light, gentle, and Lan Chan keeps teasing with his thumb at the slit, enough to make Wei Wuxian gasp and arch his back, but not enough to bring him any relief. He can feel that Lan Chan is growing hard against him as well. Wei Wuxian grinds his hips, bearing down on Lan Chan's cock to hear the little stutter in his breathing.
"It is no trouble," Lan Chan continues in between kisses, while his hands roam Wei Wuxian's body, "to bring Wei Ying the Emperor's smile in the evenings, and to peel fruit for him. To play for Wei Ying while he draws, and to play with Wei Ying before we retire."
Lan Chan discards Wei Wuxian's robe and lays him down on the bed, kneeling between his open thighs. They trade kisses for a while Lan Chan touches him in all the places that make Wei Wuxian gasp. The hollow of his throat, the hard peaks of his nipples, the line of his sternum, the place where his neck meets his shoulder, the soft patch of skin just behind his ear.
"Lan Chan, please, I want to see you," Wei Wuxian says, reaching for the fastenings of Lan Chan's robes.
He pulls at the ribbons until the robe falls open, revealing Lan Chan's chest and his muscular thighs, the prominent jut of his cock hard and flushed at the tip.
"Please, can I suck you?"
Lan Chan leans in to kiss Wei Wuxian again. "If that is what Wei Ying wishes."
"Yes, yes, please,"
he says, frantic. He loves pleasuring Lan Chan with his mouth, loves the sounds Lan Chan makes above him and the scent of Lan Chan that surrounds him, the taste of him on Wei Wuxian's tongue.
Wei Wuxian presses a hand to Lan Chan's cock and feels the way his hips stutter at the touch. They roll over until Wei Wuxian is hovering above Lan Chan, and then his mouth begins its journey down the line of Lan Chan's sternum and his abdomen until he reaches Lan Chan's cock. He licks at the bead of liquid that is gathered at the tip and presses a kiss to the underside of the crown.
I want to take care of Wei Ying,
Lan Chan says, his voice going slightly breathless the moment Wei Wuxian's lips wrap around the head of his cock.
Just as Wei Ying takes care of me, Wei Ying is to be treasured always.
Wei Wuxian can't stop the whimper that escapes him, even with his mouth on Lan Chan's cock. The praise burns inside him like a bright light, chasing away the last of the shadows. He grips Lan Chan's cock at the base and slowly sinks further down, enveloping him in the heat of his mouth. His tongue works at the underside of Lan Chan's cock, leaving it slick and wet as far as he can reach. Lan Chan is big enough that Wei Wuxian can never take him in fully without choking, but he's always willing to try. Now, the weight of him on his tongue and the smell of him are making Wei Wuxian lightheaded, but the sensation banishes the last of the dark thoughts that hide at the recesses of his mind. He kneels on the bed, folded in on himself as if in supplication, and swallows Lan Chan's cock until it hits the roof of his mouth. Wei Wuxian's lips tingle as he keeps working the length of Lan Chan's cock while his hand strokes what his mouth can't reach.
The shape of Wei Ying's mouth is made for laughter,
Lan Chan says, voice breathless. His fingers thread through Wei Wuxian's hair, but he doesn't pull, doesn't press his head further down, even though there is a part of Wei Wuxian that wishes Lan Chan would do that.
But it knows so many ways to bring joy. Wei Ying knows how to be good to me, how to please his husband.
Wei Wuxian moans, his mouth stretched around the swell of Lan Chan's cock. His eyes flutter shut and he loses himself in the sensation, in the smell of sex in Lan Chan that surrounds him, the delicious weight of him on Wei Wuxian's tongue. He eases off a little to mouth at the head of his cock, while his hand continues to stroke him through the mess of Wei Wuxian's spit and Lan Chan's own arousal. The salty, tangy taste of him floods his mouth as Lan Chan is brought closer and closer to the brink. When Wei Wuxian looks up, he finds his husband flushed all over, head thrown back in pleasure.
Wei Ying pleases me so well like this,
Lan Chan says. His hands grasp the sheets, and there is a sheen of sweat on his chest, and Wei Wuxian can't help but think, I did this.
I have been a fortunate man, to be loved so by Wei Ying.
It is ridiculous for Lan Chan to think that he's been the lucky one, as if Wei Ying could ever deserve all the affection and tenderness that Lan Chan gives him, as if he could ever be worthy of Lan Chan's shining light. He will take it, because Wei Wuxian is a greedy man, and he will do everything in his power to try to be worthy of it, but he knows the truth. He knows who the fortunate one is between the two of them. Above all, right now, Wei Wuxian wants Lan Chan to open him up and take him until he forgets how to think, until all the thoughts and memories that roil in his mind like clouds before a storm evaporate, to be replaced only with the thought of Lan Chan, Lan Chan, Lan Chan. He wants to feel the weight of Lan Chan's body bearing down on him, wants to taste his sweet mouth as Lan Chan fucks him until Wei Wuxian begs to come, whispering pleas against Lan Chan's lips. He wants to be good to his husband, wants to love him the way he deserves to be loved, all-consumingly, without end. He wants to find himself deserving of Lan Chan's light. There is another need that rises up in him, to see Lan Chan undone by his mouth and feel him spill across his tongue and lips, until Wei Wuxian's touch becomes too much for his sensitive cock. Lan Chan gets so tender right after. It never lasts long, but Wei Wuxian's teasing touches when he lingers make Lan Chan hiss, his thighs shaking. He loves it, loves seeing Lan Chan rendered so utterly defenseless and yet so safe in Wei Wuxian's arms. He can be good for him like this. With that, he returns his mouth to Lan Chan's cock, sinking deeper and deeper between big inhales of breath until he can feel himself choke, but he pushes past that. His throat relaxes in increments, and all of that is worth the sharp gasp that falls from Lan Chan's mouth when Wei Wuxian swallows around him. He eases off a little to find a steady rhythm, hollowing his cheeks and sucking Lan Chan in earnest. He's leaking against his thigh, but this is about Lan Chan's pleasure, and Wei Wuxian spares no more thought for himself. There will be time for that later.
"Do you like this, Lan Chan?"
he asks when he pulls off to take a deeper breath. His voice sounds well used, rough around his tongue.
"Does your husband please you?"
His tongue darts out to tease at the slit of Lan Shan's cock before he sinks back down with his mouth.
"My husband is so, so good to me,"
Lan Shan says in a breathy voice, his hand once again finding the crown of Wei Wuxian's head.
"He cares for me so well. There is nothing else that I want when Wei Ying is with me."
Wei Wuxian shuts his eyes tight, afraid that they would pool with tears if he let them remain open. The buoyant feeling in his chest swells in Wei Wuxian like the waters of the tide, overwhelming him completely, crashing over him, and yet letting him breathe freely. He loves Lan Chan so much, beyond what can be expressed in words. But Lan Chan's love for him, he's come to understand, could rend the heavens open if he so wished. Wei Wuxian doesn't understand how he got so lucky. He sucks and licks at Lan Chan's cock, lapping at the head with his tongue just to envelop him with his mouth as far as he can reach, and his hand, slick with his own spit, keeps stroking up to meet his lips. Wei Wuxian is drunk on it, on the scent of Lan Chan and the taste and weight of him, the small throaty sounds that keep escaping his mouth until they reach a peak, and Lan Chan comes into Wei Wuxian's ready, open mouth. Wei Wuxian swallows greedily, darting his tongue out when some of Lan Chan's seed spills down the corner of his mouth.
"Wei Ying,"
Lan Chan whispers, licking his lips, and Wei Wuxian surges up to kiss him immediately, dizzy with Lan Chan's presence around him. Lan Chan gives him a soft smile, cups the side of his face, and presses another kiss to Wei Wuxian's tingling mouth.
"My Wei Ying loves me so well."
"Please," Wei Wuxian says, wants the taste of Lan Chan on his tongue as a distant memory, his mouth bruised and tender from kissing. Lan Chan is lying on top of him now, pressing him into the bedding, the heat of his body overwhelming. Those who say that Hong Guan Jun is cold as jade forget that the light he bears can burn as well as illuminate the dark, and Wei Wuxian craves the heat that comes with it. He is the only one who knows how hot Lan Chan can burn.
"Please, Lan Chan,"
Wei Wuxian repeats, surging up to kiss him again. "Let me make you feel good. Let me be good to you." Lan Chan looks at him from above, his eyes depthless with lust and tenderness, then takes Wei Wuxian's arms and draws them up, crossing them at the wrist.
"Wei Ying will be good to me,"
Lan Chan says, snatching Wei Wuxian's discarded hair ribbon from the table by the bed.
"Wei Ying is always good to me."
It takes no time at all for Lan Chan to tie the ribbon around Wei Wuxian's wrists and slide it around a slat of wood in the bed frame, securing the knot. It's not tight enough to leave those kinds of marks that won't fade until tomorrow, but tight enough that Wei Wuxian knows to stay put. A thrill runs down his spine, with no way to cover himself and his hands bound. He feels exposed in front of Lan Chan, who kneels between his thighs and looks at Wei Wuxian, appraising. He must be a sight, Wei Wuxian thinks, with his cock flushed and leaking against his stomach, his nipples hard and his breath coming in spasms. He swallows, letting his thighs fall open even wider, burying himself completely to Lan Chan's scrutiny.
"Lovely,"
Lan Chan says, running a hand down Wei Wuxian's sternum and all the way down to his abdomen before pausing just above the hot length of Wei Wuxian's cock.
"Lan Chan..."
Wei Wuxian whines, arching up, but Lan Chan's hand moves to caress the inside of Wei Wuxian's thigh, ignoring the place Wei Wuxian wants to be touched the most.
"Please, I want..."
Lan Chan moves to lean over him, his face inches from Wei Wuxian's own.
"Wei Ying wants to be good to me. Patience, then,"
he says, then brushes his lips against Wei Wuxian's parched mouth.
"You will not want for anything."
Wei Wuxian knows that well. With Lan Chan by his side, he has never wanted for anything. He has been showered with gifts and the quiet kind of affection that lives in the hands and the eyes,
in the soft curve of Lan Chan's mouth when he smiles. He can endure the lack of Lan Chan's touch for the moment, if that would please him.
Wei Ying is beautiful,
Lan Chan whispers against Wei Wuxian's ear, then presses a kiss to the sensitive skin below. There is a small pillow that Lan Chan wedges under Wei Wuxian's hips until he's completely bared to the chilly night air. A moment later, he pulls a carved box from under the bed and produces a vial of oil, half empty again. Wei Wuxian watches, transfixed, as Lan Chan pours the oil on his fingers before putting the vial away. The oil glistens in the candlelight as it runs down Lan Chan's fingers and drips on the sheets.
So beautiful,
Lan Chan says as he presses his fingers against Wei Wuxian's opening. At first, his touch is light, gentle. His fingers massage the skin in slow circles, applying pressure without breaching Wei Wuxian. It seems like Lan Chan has a mind to tease tonight, to take Wei Wuxian apart slowly without rushing, until he cries and begs to come. Other times, Lan Chan starts with two fingers, thrusting into Wei Wuxian until he toes the edge of the knife between pleasure and pain, pushing impatiently against Lan Chan's hand and into the harsh stretch. But not tonight.
Wei Ying takes me so well,
Lan Chan says as he works one slick finger inside Wei Wuxian.
Opens up so easily for me.
Lan Chan, please. Wei Wuxian squirms under his touch, even though he knows that Lan Chan has made up his mind to make Wei Wuxian desperate before he gives him what he's been craving ever since they started. You won't be too cruel to your husband, will you? You won't make me wait too long. He is rewarded with another kiss.
I could never be cruel to Wei Ying,
Lan Chan says,
when he is so good to me.
Wei Wuxian takes a deep, shaky breath. He almost wants to be blindfolded for this, to be forced to do nothing other than feel, but he also wants to see Lan Chan's beautiful face when he fucks him. Lan Chan, I can take more, Wei Wuxian says, sounding out of breath. Please.
Lan Chan hums. In due time.
Wei Wuxian arches his back, pressing further against Lan Chan's finger. Lan Chan's hands are large but graceful, his fingers long, and he knows how to make Wei Wuxian whimper. He's buried inside Wei Wuxian up to the last knuckle now, slowly stretching him out, his other hand resting against the inside of Wei Wuxian's thigh, keeping him open. Tell me, Wei Wuxian says at last, half bold, half desperate. Tell me what you're thinking about, Lan Chan, when you fuck me like this. Lan Chan is usually quiet in bed, but tonight Wei Wuxian needs to hear his voice. He spent the past 3 nights in silence and darkness, and now he needs Lan Chan's voice to draw him back into the light.
My husband is so beautiful under me,
Lan Chan says, finally adding a second finger. The stretch makes Wei Wuxian groan in pleasure. His arms strain against his bindings as he struggles to take in more of Lan Chan's fingers until he can feel the palm of his hand flush against him. Lan Chan curves his finger inward, brushing against the spot that drags a moan out of Wei Wuxian's throat and says,
When I touch Wei Ying, his body speaks love.
Lan Chan leans over Wei Wuxian, kissing whatever sliver of skin his mouth can reach, while his fingers stretch Wei Wuxian open. It's a slow, slow trickle of molten heat that coils inside Wei Wuxian's abdomen, radiating to all the places where they touch, to Lan Chan's lips against the line of his collarbone, to Lan Chan's fingers buried deep inside Wei Wuxian.
Wei Ying gives so much of himself to me,
Lan Chan says. He withdraws his fingers and pours more oil onto the sensitive skin between Wei Wuxian's thighs. It's cold against his overheated body and he shivers, but Lan Chan's warm fingers return soon after, and he works 3 of them inside him, sinking into the last knuckle. Their bodies make an obscene wet sound where they touch, growing louder and louder with each movement of Lan Chan's hand.
And he deserves everything in return.
Wei Wuxian wants to protest, but what spills out of his mouth instead is a moan. His cheeks burn, his chest tight with embarrassment at his own reaction, but that was what he wanted, wasn't it? For Lan Chan to tell him everything.
Thoughts of Wei Ying haunt my waking hours.
Lan Chan fucks him slowly, thoroughly with his fingers,
until Wei Wuxian's body gives in easily, open and ready.
I always want him to know my heart.
Wei Wuxian takes a shuddering breath.
And what is in your heart, Lan Chan?
He asks, even though he already knows.
Love.
A kiss to the hollow of Wei Wuxian's throat.
Affection.
Another pressed to the center of his chest.
Adoration.
A touch of lips just below the sternum.
Devotion.
Wei Wuxian's cock jerks against his stomach. Another quiet gasp falls from his lips.
Whatever Wei Ying wants, he shall receive.
His fingers inside Wei Wuxian continue their slow, unhurried movement, crooking upwards to brush against the spot that makes Wei Wuxian shiver. Wei Wuxian closes his eyes and lets his other senses take over until he becomes completely pliant, letting go of the tension in his muscles. His entire body goes slack in Lan Chan's arms, another moan ripped from his throat. Lan Chan has worked four fingers inside Wei Wuxian now, and if Wei Wuxian could move his hands, he would be clawing at the sheets. It's too much and not enough all at once, but he feels full in a way that makes his mind go quiet.
Lan Chan, Lan Chan, this is so good,
he babbles, overcome with the pleasure of it. He swallows, his throat parched.
You're so, so good to me, Lan Chan.
It is Wei Ying who is good, taking my fingers so well,
Lan Chan says, gently pulling his fingers out. Wei Wuxian instinctively chases after his hand with his body, unwilling to let go.
He has been so patient with me, and he will be rewarded for that.
Wei Wuxian watches as Lan Chan reaches once again for the vial to slick himself up, even though the skin between Wei Wuxian's legs is already a slippery, dripping mess. His cock throbs in anticipation, the tension in his spine a bowstring. With his clean hand, Lan Chan reaches for Wei Wuxian's foot and brings his leg up to rest on his shoulder. Wei Wuxian gasps, his spine arching, when Lan Chan presses a kiss to the jutting bone of his ankle and then another to the arch of his calf. He rubs his thumb on the underside of his knee. A moment later, Wei Wuxian feels the hard, unrelenting press of Lan Chan's cock against his opening. It's an easy slide, as stretched and pliant as Wei Wuxian is, but Lan Chan's cock is so much longer than his fingers, and soon Wei Wuxian begins to gasp as he pushes in, inch by inch. The feeling of fullness returns once more, the tight, hot stretch of it, and Wei Wuxian revels in the sensation. He moans when Lan Chan moves, raising his hips to meet his thrust.
Lan Chan, ah, Lan Chan, that's right, that's so good, you're so good to me, so good,
Wei Wuxian says. He tries to scramble for purchase, but it's difficult with his hands tied, and he keeps sliding in the sweat-soaked sheets.
If I untie you, will you keep your hands at your sides?
Lan Chan asks, leaning over Wei Wuxian. The movement drives his cock even deeper, the stretch of it like a fire that lights up Wei Wuxian's body from the inside.
Will my Wei Ying be good for me?
Wei Wuxian nods, straining his arms against the knots.
Please, I'll be good, Lan Chan. You'll see how good I can be, he says. Please, just let me.
Lan Chan hums. All right, then.
He bends Wei Wuxian in half when he leans over to release him from the bindings, the taut muscles of his abdomen brushing against Wei Wuxian's hard, leaking cock. The pleasure of it shoots right through him like an arrow, but then Lan Chan withdraws, and Wei Wuxian finds himself free to move his hands once again. He rubs at his wrists, marveling at the red welts that will fade to nothing far too soon, and grabs at the sheets the moment Lan Chan begins to fuck him in short, shallow thrusts.
Wei Ying takes me so well,
Lan Chan says, his breath heavy.
It feels so good to sink into his warmth.
Wei Wuxian could get drunk on this alone, the knowledge that his body can give Lan Chan the pleasure he deserves, until it spills over like a wave of the tide. To be desired like this, boundlessly and endlessly, is exhilarating in a way that spurs Wei Wuxian into action, his hips pushing up to meet Lan Chan's cock. With one leg resting against Lan Chan's shoulder and the other bent at the knee, his heel digging into the bed for better purchase, Wei Wuxian feels open, laid bare,
He fights the tightness in his throat and the stinging in his eyes as the vulnerability of this moment chokes him. But here, with Lan Chan, he's more than just a sum of his mistakes. He's loved and cherished and wanted beyond measure. He arches off the bed, pushing his body ever closer to Lan Chan, his hips stuttering with every movement as he meets Lan Chan thrust for thrust. Wei Wuxian wants to touch himself so badly he's aching with it, the agony mixed with pleasure bringing tears to his eyes, mouth open around a breathless moan. But he promised Lan Chan he would be good. So instead, he fists his hands in the sheets, arms straining as he pushes himself up on his elbows, his head thrown back in pleasure.
"Weying is so beautiful like this," Lan Chan says, one of his hands coming to rest gently on Wei Wuxian's neck.
There is no pressure, but the gentle warmth of his palm makes Wei Wuxian gasp.
"So ready to give me everything."
With a trembling hand, Wei Wuxian pulls Lan Chan closer until they kiss, sharing the air between them, a wet slide of lips on lips, tongues twining around each other. Lan Chan never stops fucking him, the thrusts hard and unrelenting, hips pushing into the heat of Wei Wuxian's body. Wei Wuxian feels like he's running a fever. There is sweat trickling down his face, pooling in the hollow of his throat, and he can only beg for more.
"Please, please, Lan Chan, I can't..."
Wei Wuxian whines into Lan Chan's mouth every time his cock brushes against Lan Chan's abdomen.
"I will give Wei Ying whatever he wants," Lan Chan says.
He gives him one last kiss before pulling back, then grabs Wei Wuxian under the knee and pulls his other leg up onto his shoulder. The forward movement of Lan Chan's hips when he leans over Wei Wuxian almost bends him in half. The muscles of his thighs burn, the heat of it spreads through Wei Wuxian's body like wildfire. He's trembling all over, thoughts clouded by the overwhelming pleasure that threatens to devour him, but his hands stay clenched around the fistfuls of sheets. Lan Chan pulls him closer still, arms wrapping around Wei Wuxian's thighs, and fucks him until a sob tears from Wei Wuxian's throat.
"Good,"
Lan Chan says, leaning forward. He sounds breathless as well.
"Let yourself feel. Let me take care of you the way you deserve. Wei Ying deserves everything, and I will give it to him."
Wei Wuxian closes his eyes and lets the tight coil of heat in his abdomen unspool, flood his veins with fire as he arches his back one last time and comes, without ever taking a hand to himself, listening to the sweet sound of Lan Chan's voice. The pleasure of it stretches as he falls and keeps falling until Lan Chan's strong hands, wrapping around the meat of his thighs, catch him before he can become undone beyond the point of return. He thinks he says something, or maybe he moans again, but it's hard to tell. The only thing Wei Wuxian is aware of is Lan Chan's body against his and the frantic, jerky movement of his hips.
"Come on, Lan Chan, come on,"
Wei Wuxian breathes, arms reaching out to wrap around Lan Chan's neck, pulling him closer until they can kiss again, wet and open-mouthed.
"Come on, you can let go now. I'm good. It's good. It's all good."
He's burning still, the fire only now starting to die down, and his hips thrust up to meet Lan Chan, muscle clenching around his cock, urging him on. In the end, that seems to be Lan Chan's undoing. His rhythm falters, the movement of his hips growing frantic, erratic, and then he gasps, his body going rigid as he comes. Afterwards, they lie there for a while, forehead to forehead, breathing loudly. Eventually, Lan Chan moves to pull out, but Wei Wuxian wraps his sore, trembling legs around his waist, keeping him in place.
"No, no, wait, Lan Chan, don't go yet," he says, voice rough.
"I am not going anywhere, Wei Ying,"
Lan Chan murmurs, but stays inside Wei Wuxian until he begins to go soft. Eventually, though, Lan Chan pulls away and leaves the bed, taking his warmth with him. Wei Wuxian stays, his body cooling with the mess of his seed all over his chest and abdomen. He can barely move, and the muscles of his thighs scream, but his mind is quiet, the hungry shadows sated for now. It's so much easier to breathe like this, and Wei Wuxian closes his eyes, prepared to drift off into sleep, but finds himself unable to. His body is still singing with the sweet burn of his muscles, the relief that floods his senses. He has come undone and then put back together again, with nothing but Lan Chan's words and the weight of his body against Wei Wuxian's own. He doesn't want to let this moment go, greedy again to hold on to whatever he can. With his eyes still shut, Wei Wuxian listens to Lan Chan's footsteps as he walks around the Jingxi, the quiet sounds of water being poured into a wash basin and a washcloth being wrung out.
Is Wei Ying tired yet?
Lan Chan asks, coming back to the bed to clean up the mess on Wei Wuxian's stomach and between his thighs.
No.
Wei Wuxian's head lolls to the side and he opens his eyes at last, gazing straight into Lan Chan's beautiful face.
Can we stay up for a little while longer?
Lan Chan presses a soft, quick kiss to Wei Wuxian's mouth.
Whatever Wei Ying wishes.
They end up out on the deck, dressed in just their underrobes, with Lan Chan's cloak pulled over them. Wei Wuxian lounges, half sitting in Lan Chan's lap, with his eyes closed and his head thrown back. He leans against Lan Chan's chest, who keeps feeding him bits of black sesame candy with sticky fingers. It bursts with flavor on his tongue and coats the roof of his mouth. There is an open jar of Emperor's Smile to Wei Wuxian's side, too, that he reaches for every now and then. But it's Lan Chan's presence that he craves most at this moment. It feels fitting that they find themselves here, in the place where Wei Wuxian spent his last 3 nights, alone for fear of waking Lan Chan and burdening him with his nightmares. If there has ever been a lesson that Wei Wuxian learned well, it has been this: do not be a burden. He understood it when he first came to live at Lotus Pier, and he understood it later when he chose to leave, knowing that if he were to stay, his presence would only be an obstacle to Jiang Cheng's fragile position among the sect leaders. So when Lan Chan asks eventually, in quiet, gentle words, why he never said anything, Wei Wuxian can answer in no other way.
I didn't want to be a burden, Lan Chan, he says, burrowing himself deeper into Lan Chan's embrace. I know how hard you work, how much you need the rest. And I know I'm difficult to love on the best of days. I just didn't want you to worry over nothing.
Lan Chan frowns.
Wei Ying is the easiest person to love.
He kisses his temple down the line of his cheekbone, all the way to the corner of his mouth.
It is no hardship to love him. It has never been a hardship.
Wei Wuxian laughs quietly.
I think young Lan Chan would beg to differ. You were so stern with me.
Lan Chan, to Wei Wuxian's surprise and delight, looks away, but his ears betray him, growing red at the tips.
I did not know what to do with the feelings Wei Ying's presence aroused in me, he admits. I handled it poorly.
Oh, so I aroused feelings?
Wei Wuxian tips his head back further to get a better look at Lan Chan. His smile draws crow's feet in the corners of his eyes.
Just feelings, eh, Lan Chan?
Among other things.
Lan Chan gives him a stern look, but there is a smile hiding in the curve of his mouth. Then he shakes his head and says with a sigh,
Wei Ying is impossible.
They're silent for a moment, letting the cool night air fill their lungs. It's fragrant with the promise of another summer before them, filled with more joy than Wei Wuxian has ever known.
No, but seriously though, Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian raises his hand to cup Lan Chan's cheek.
I know you paid the price for loving me, in more than one way. Sometimes I just don't want to add to this, you know? I just want to make it easier for you, loving me.
Lan Chan closes his eyes for a moment, and when he opens them again, they are depthless lakes of raw feeling.
It is always easy to love Wei Ying, he says, and I would change nothing.
To the east, the sky begins to take on a lighter hue. At Wei Wuxian's side, Lan Chan is a warm, solid presence, a reminder that he does not need to walk this path alone. This time, when the calm waters of Lan Chan's affection wash over him, Wei Wuxian spreads his arms out and leans into the drift. The end.